life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Are you working? Yep. To the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips, getting you in the game. And we're back. An enforced hiatus, maybe not, maybe just lazy, who knows. But we've had the last month or so off. We needed it, we've recharged our batteries, and we've come ready full of vim, vigour, and plenty of cracking interviews for you. This is the Gridiron Show. Ollie, you're not dancing. I'm both upset and confused by this situation.
Sorry, I was intrigued by the tennis, which we've got going on in the background as we record this inaugural barcast? Shedcast? Tiki cast?
Yeah, we are in the... Well, the thing is, we've done a podcast up here before, but it wasn't a bar at that point. It's now a fully-fledged, proper bar. Yeah. We've got the big screen on, we've got the projector on. Roger Federer leads two sets to love in the Wimbledon final, and Maran Cilic's foot is absolutely buggered. This is a case of when, not if, he takes this third set.
Yeah.
Although, as Toby Gillis said on TalkSport and suggested he'd eat his hat...
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
Rafa didn't come back and win
against Gilles Muller. That was amazing.
He's not at his hat yet, so I'm not going to make any such promises. This is the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips, getting you in the game. Ben Mortimer is going to join us on our second pod of the week later in the week. That's right, we're going to do two podcasts this week.
I don't believe you.
And we're going to get back to doing at least a podcast a week. It's been... We went away on holiday, we had the Lions, and me and Ollie have just been working crazy busy for the last month or so while the Lions tour has been going on, and we've been doing 8-9 kind of shifts a week, so we've been insanely busy.
Yeah, crazy busy. And then we went to Poland, which was debaucherous.
Riotous. And I discovered something new about Ollie while I was there.
And breaking.
He's a wanderer.
Yeah, I do like a wander.
Whenever Ollie has had just a few too many drinks in him, on the last night, we actually had to attach a glow stick to the back of his little hat, because that way we could see him in a crowd, because he just starts wandering off. And like, there were girls behind us, we were watching a band called Trent Muller, who were amazing.
Yeah.
And we were all a bit of a mess, but I was sat on the ground, and you and Jeremy, a producer from TalkSport 2 who was with us, were dancing around, and then you kept just wandering off into the distance, and we'd realise you'd gone after like 10 seconds, and one of us would get up and chase after you. And there was a group of girls behind us who thought this was absolutely hilarious. Like, it's like you were our child or puppy or something, and you just kept walking off. Like, we genuinely discussed whether or not we could buy one of those child leashes but in an adult size, because we could have done with it the whole week.
Who was your favourite?
Obviously Radiohead were amazing. I really enjoyed Raw Blood. They were really good.
Really surprised by them.
It's difficult, because whilst I've been at home and not there, I've seen Arcade Fire 3 times in the last 5 weeks.
What?
It's very difficult to...
Sorry, what?
I've seen Arcade Fire live 3 times in the last 5 weeks.
But I went to one of them, and I know you went to another, which I decided not to go to, but I should have. What's the other one?
And I went to see them at the Maida Vale Studios for BBC Radio 1 as well.
Sorry, what?
With only like 70 people there.
What?
Shh. Ollie, quiet.
That's so out of order.
But because they are the best live band in the world, it kind of... Well, my answer's Arcade Fire and they weren't playing at that festival.
At least you took your wife, right?
Don't start.
Okay.
Not a topic of conversation suitable for that podcast.
Moving on quickly.
So Ben will join us later in the week. There's lots of great deals if you are looking to travel to the US in the coming season. Team-specific deals to talk about. And if you want to join us on our 2017 Gridiron Road Trip, there are still a couple of places left. The nature of the way these things are booked is you slightly overbook by a few people and they'll allow you a few free cancellations. So even though we're fully booked up for the kind of 25 or so people that are coming, there are still three or four places, so you can still get involved. Get in touch with Ben, find Touchdown Trips on Facebook, on Twitter, or at touchdowntrips.com.
Only allowed one piece of luggage each, so no one can fit in our suitcases before anyone asks. That has been asked of me.
By who?
I cannot tell you. I'll tell you off air.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, we've got coming up on today's show, we went to the NFL UK Summer Bowl earlier this week.
How great was that? It was your first time. It was out in Chiswick, wasn't it?
First time at that new location. They've been doing it for a few years now, and I'd been the first couple of years, but I didn't go to Chiswick last year. I was away on holiday when that was happening. And so it's got bigger and better every year.
Yeah.
More media every year covering it. Obviously, with four games this year, that meant there were eight players, or were meant to be eight players, actually. Ben Coak, the tight end from the Jags, got food poisoning and missed like a whole day and a half's worth of promotional stuff. Yeah. But there were seven players there for each of the teams. We got interviews with most of them. We didn't get a chance to chat to Stefon Diggs, unfortunately, just because of time-wise, and we had other priorities. But coming up, we're going to have interviews with Tyrann Mathieu. We're going to have interviews with Joe Bitonio.
Yeah.
Johnny Hecker, Brandon Williams coming back on the show. If you've not seen on Twitter, on Ollie, at Ollie Hunter, my attempt to mimic Brandon Williams doing the Carlton dance for his sack celebration.
I don't think it was a mimic. It was more a...
interpretation.
It was an homage, almost. It was a duet in dance. You both
Something
went
like
for
that.
It. I mean, Something he like was better than you.
Yeah, I felt like if we needed music, if I'd had music, I'm a man who needs the rhythm to work. Yeah. Without the music, I struggled.
Okay.
I won't lie.
Yeah, sure.
That made the big difference. If the music had been there, I'd have been on point.
Yeah.
But it looks weird because we're both kind of dancing to a slightly different rhythm. Maybe if one of us had sung it. Should have got Brandon Williams to sing it. I've now forgotten who else that we've got. Kenny Stills we spoke to.
Yeah, Kenny. Kenny was... didn't get along with Kenny. He's a man of very few words.
He was tired. He was the one who looked like the jet lag was hitting him hard.
Alex Jenkins we spoke to.
And Alex Jenkins, who's a really interesting character. He's one of these guys who's gone through the international player pathway program for the NFL. We spoke to Alex Gray on the show recently, who's the former rugby sevens and under 20s captain for England, who's now out there with the Falcons. Alex Jenkins is a bit more of a traditional route. He played football as in soccer. For academy systems, etc. Yeah. When he was younger, realised it wasn't going to be a career. Saw the NFL, realised that like he was a similar body size. Ended up starting training with a team in Bath. I think it was the Bath Aztecs.
Bristol Aztecs.
Bristol Aztecs. Apologies. He's from Bath. Sorry.
One of our
Bristol Aztec
plays for the Bristol Aztecs.
There you go. So you're going to hear from former Bristol Aztec, now defensive end on the practice squad with the New Orleans Saints. He was a really
Isn't he
nice
a
guy. No, he's a defensive end.
He's a defensive end.
Yeah, that's why I talked about Cameron Jordan for about 5 minutes.
Okay, sure. I wondered why you were talking about Cameron Jordan, him being a tight end.
Not Jordan Cameron the tight end, but Cameron Jordan the defensive end.
Sure, great. A nice league mix up there.
Yeah, it's all very confusing. So we're going to have a few of those interviews in this show. And basically, it's not a huge amount of news for us to get to at the moment.
There's really not. There's one piece of news that I don't want to talk about. You'll know the piece of news.
I don't.
It concerns a former Browns quarterback.
Oh, Johnny Manziel. Yeah, forget that.
Yeah. Don't want to talk about that.
No, that's fine. We can ignore that. So we're just going to bring you some of those interviews. I mean, we could do it game by game and just play the ones who are... Maybe we could do Wembley on this show and then we could do the Twickenham games on the next show. Why don't we do that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So we'll do the Wembley, although we haven't got a Jags interview, but we've had quite a few Jags interviews. We already spoke to Leonard Fournette and Cam Robinson this summer. There was actually the Jags Academy.
We could maybe roll out one of those again.
Well, the Jags Academy was this past week, and I was hoping to go down on the Friday, but unfortunately travel, etc., because it was right out in Uxbridge. It didn't quite work out. But Tony Pacelli was in the country for that, and I know Nat Coombs was down there doing some bits for TalkSport 2 as well as ESPN and chatting to some of the guys. So I think the people who set up the Jags Academy are going to set us up a couple of interviews. We're going to speak to Nat about what it was like. And we'll do a bit of a feature on the Jags Academy as well. But yeah, so that means we'll have Brandon Williams, Alex Jenkins, Kenny Stills on this show. And then later in the week, the other interviews.
It's a good idea.
Tyrone Matthew, Johnny Hecker, Joel Batonio.
What a great guy, by the way.
And then we didn't have Stefan Diggs. Maybe we'll try and get a Viking. Well, actually, do you know what? We've had a lot of Vikings players
we
on
have
as well.
Had an awful lot of Vikings.
Yeah, so
some would say too many Vikings.
Three interviews a show over the next weeks. But actually, saying that, before we do that, we will hear a little bit from Tyrone Matthew because this story that's come out in the last week or so, and amazing considering we saw Bruce Arians on Super Bowl week and he looked healthy, fit and well, fighting. We chatted to him, had him on the show, and he was in really fine fettle and really good spirits, wasn't he?
What a great guy.
Well, this amazing news that in February he underwent surgery to remove a cancerous spot from one of his kidneys.
What?
He reveals in his new book. In the book, Arians describes finding out in December that an ultrasound he underwent for a hernia revealed renal cell carcinoma on one of his kidneys. Arians managed to coach the remainder of the season before undergoing surgery to have a small portion of the affected kidney removed. Despite the surgery, Arians managed to attend the scouting combine in February, and he was at the Super Bowl, like we said, at the beginning of February. It wasn't his first cancer scare in his career. In 2007, diagnosed with prostate cancer and had cancerous cells removed from his nose in 2013. So, amazing considering the condition he was in when we saw him, and kind of doubly amazing when you remember why Bruce Arians is a head coach in this league again. If you look back to the first season for Andrew Luck in the league when Chuck Pagano contracted cancer and Bruce Arians took over as head coach, coached them to that amazing playoff season, and then got the Cardinals job off the back of that. It kind of all cyclical, but fascinatingly, talking to the honey badger, we'll get that right eventually. Arians told Matthew about it back in December. One of the few members of the team did. They've got a really key relationship. And let's just hear from Tyrone Matthew about the situation and about the removal of the cancer and etc. When we spoke to him earlier this week.
Well, I knew last season, I'm not sure who all knew, but I knew personally. He told me what he was going through, and it was good to see that he got all those things corrected and fixed. And we just really want to play for him this season. You know, we know he went through a lot last season. You know, he's one of those guys. You know, it's not hard to play for him at all. So, you know, I think with this news, I think it just adds a little bit, fuel to the fire. So. We definitely want to do it for him this season. He's a great guy, definitely believes in his players. He believes in loyalty and respect and trust. And, I think you need a guy like that, when you're playing in the NFL. He's very relatable. He's been through a lot as well. So, he's a great guy to call a leader. You know, he's all about respect. Me and him have really formed a really good relationship since I've been in the league. And we talk a lot. Rather do we talk about football. He's been a great influence on my life.
Tyrone Matthew speaking there. I spoke with him for an extended period of time. I'll bring you that full interview on the next show. He tells me when he's fully fit, he's the best player in the NFL.
His confidence is outstanding, isn't it?
Not the best defensive player in the NFL, which apparently he's now also said in a separate interview to the Arizona. Now he's back with the Arizona Cardinals for training camp. He's now said he's the best player. It's an interesting interview because I ask him, do you feel extra pressure because the size of your contract has meant players like Tony Jefferson and Calais Campbell have moved on, who are both players who are in the top 10 at their position and maybe higher. So
both of which we'll see in London as well this year.
Indeed we will. And I asked him about that and Brandon Williams. And yeah, all very interesting. Really, really good time.
But going back to Bruce Arians, isn't it incredible? I mean, he was already a hero of mine anyway. But this news comes out. He could have taken the time off, and no one would have begrudged him it in December to get this this cancerous cell on his kidney sorted out. But he stuck with the team, stayed with the team. Okay, the team didn't make the playoffs, and I'm sure it's got nothing to do with that. There were other issues. But isn't that incredible that he decided to continue with the team throughout until the end of the season? And then, right, that's my time off. That's when I'm going to sort out my health. I just think that's incredible. What a hero.
What a hero. Love that man. The only other bit of news, Michael Floyd suspended for the first games of 2017. Interesting, Mike Vimmer said that said to Michael Floyd that essentially, if you're lying to me, I will kick the living something out of you. I'm sure that's what he said. But he has been suspended for the first four games of 2017. Sadly, this news didn't come out before there was a brief opportunity to speak to Stefan Diggs, because that would have been quite an interesting conversation to have had with him about had he had any interaction with the wide receiver, etc. You know, this is no surprise to see whatsoever. The fact that he failed another blood test while he was during his period of probation, all that stuff about it. He drank that very low alcohol iced tea drink and didn't realise it contained alcohol, and that's why he blew positive or tested positive. I mean, it all seems a little bit silly.
Mate, just sometimes own up to it, mate. Own up to it. You know, when Bruce Arians has got rid of him and then Bill Belichick's got rid of him, these are two very clued up, savvy head coaches who know when a player is done, and I'm surprised that the Vikings took a gamble on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get to the interviews, anything that you want to talk about, Ollie? Anything you want to bring up? Have you had a wonderful 5 or 6 weeks off since we last did a show?
Has it been that long?
I don't really know anymore. Genuinely, we are going to start be doing the week in, week out again, and we've got the fantasy seasons coming up, so the return of Fantasy Darlings. We'll get Neil on line on Skype, and we'll do that regularly. There's going to be lots of stuff. We should mention as well, for Gridiron, if you've not picked it up, the Gridiron Booker's
I started it yesterday. I found some time to go through it yesterday. It's great.
Six appeal really great. On the front, old Tommy Brady, but Ryan Reynolds, majoritively written by Ryan Reynolds. It's been exactly a month since we recorded a podcast.
I've just checked it myself. Yeah, 30 days.
Ryan Reynolds has written the bulk of it. Matt Sherry getting involved as well.
Ryan Reynolds.
That would be amazing.
Ryan Reynolds, Neil, a special Reynolds guest.
Neil Reynolds.
No relation.
Don't get me wrong. Big fan of Neil Reynolds, but Ryan Reynolds would be incredible.
There'd definitely be a CFL section.
And you can get on there. You can check that out on the website, and you can subscribe. And you can subscribe and get the Bookazine as part of your subscription, or subscribe separately to the magazine. And you can pick it up in all good WH Smiths, etc. It's incredibly reasonably priced. It's a massive guide with every team covered.
I would say it's not... If you love your X's and O's and you want to go really deep, deep into the NFL, it's not for you. But it's a great off-season to build up to... You know, we're in the final stretch almost now of getting into the season. We're going to have the ridiculous preseason games next month as well. But it's a really great way, just a little refresher, who's who, what teams have picked up which players and who they've drafted. It's a very, very good piece of journalism, a really good magazine, and a really good guide. I couldn't recommend it enough.
Let's not forget, we're about eight weeks away from the season starting today. 8 weeks from competitive Sunday football. I know we have the Thursday game, so just under 8 weeks away from the season starting, but 8 weeks until the first Sunday of the season today. So it's the perfect time to start getting yourself excited, start building up to the season, and yeah, it's really, really worth the read. Also, just the other thing I remembered that happened this week, NFL related. Did you see we got quote tweeted by Miko Grimes?
Yeah, I did. What was that all about?
Miko Grimes, who had all of the beef with a friend of the show, friend of the show, Greg Rosenthal.
Rosenthal. Yeah. NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
I've arranged to pop along and see them when we're in LA. I'm going to see if Matt will let me do a piece for Gridiron on the operation at in LA for the NFL Network stuff.
That'll pay
spend a day there.
That'll pay for that leg of the your trip.
Not so sure it will.
Not so sure it will. Yeah.
So Jarvis Landry said in an interview with Sherry that went into the Bookazine and is now part of the Reynolds Report on the Gridiron website, this new section which is going to have daily updates from Neil Reynolds, that Jarvis Landry was quoted as saying, and I'll bring it up, "We understand we have to face the Patriots twice the year, but we are not the little brother anymore." Miko Grimes, obviously, who's husband has left there, quote tweeted, it's going, the little sister, question mark, with a little strokey chin face.
Oh, very good. Well done, Miko.
That's but maybe the funniest thing Miko Grimes has ever tweeted.
Yeah.
Well done. Shall we get to the interviews?
Let's do it.
Let's start off with Brandon Williams. And yes, there is that video online, you can see it, of me dancing with him. But we got to chat to him, caught up with him for 5 minutes. They play in the first game at Wembley against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
Jaguars.
Well, let's not forget, our Brandon Williams with him back at the Super Bowl. We said to him, we'd pay him in a heartbeat. We can't believe that how important he is, how scheme specific he is to the Baltimore Ravens, that they haven't already paid him. And well, this is how the interview started.
Brandon, hey man, I don't know if you remember, we sat down at the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
exactly. So well, the first thing is, we said you were going to get paid and you got paid.
Yes I did. Thank you to the Ravens, and thank you to Sports Trust and Bill Johnson, Pat Dye Jr. for, you know, all of the good things that happened this offseason.
I mean, the team, as well as investing in you, invested a lot on the defensive side of the ball this year. Top four draft picks, bringing in a player like Tony Jefferson. Have you spoken to the Honey Badger about Tony?
Oh, yeah. I talked to him actually yesterday about him. He's like, we got a good player. And, you know, he does his work. He's a hard worker. So I'm excited to – and I've seen that, you know, in the OTAs. I've seen that in minicamp. I'm excited to see more when we put the pads on.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I love what you do, getting in on that one technique, moving out to three as well on the nickel, all that stuff you do on the line. But you've got a guy as well, 13 tackles for loss. Do you know who he was level with last year? Von Miller.
Who, me?
Tony Jefferson.
Tony Jefferson
had the same tackles for loss as Von Miller last season.
Really? Because he's a beast, that's why. That's why. I mean, the guy's, you know, that's the reason we got him, because he's so much of a disruptive player, not only in the back end, but coming downhill.
I wish I could have told you that you had as many tackles as Von Miller. I'm sorry, Brandon. Nah, that's my bad.
It's all good.
How are you enjoying your time in the UK so far?
I'm having a wonderful time. I'm having a great time, especially out here right now with the kids. They're doing a great job just kind of soaking up, you know, the game of football, American football. And, you know, just the passion you see in their eyes, the just the love and just the thirst for knowledge about the game is amazing. And I love, you know, going out here, teaching them, throwing the ball, catching the ball, you know, running, doing drills and all that stuff. So it's amazing.
Has it surprised you, the knowledge? I mean, particularly, I think you did the NFL fan forum last night as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was crazy to see all those jerseys and all those fans just from the UK, just, you know, just so excited about American football. I mean, it was like one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
I want to ask you as well, there's been the news over the last month or so, Zach Hall, a player we talked about at the Super Bowl, has got a couple of second opinions, is maybe thinking about coming back to play. Now, does that surprise you considering the injury?
No, it doesn't surprise me, because he's a warrior. He's a modern-day gladiator who loves the game of football. And to me, I mean, I think if, you know, it's up to him. It's his body, and it's up to him. If he wants to come back and play, then why not? I mean, if he knows, I mean, everyone knows when you come to the game of football, injuries will occur. Things will happen. He's been playing with that injury, I guess, since he was a kid. He knew what he was getting himself into once he started putting in the helmet, you know? So I feel like more power to him. If he wants to come back, I will welcome him definitely with open arms. And I hope anyone else does, everyone else does also.
It's good to know. Have you managed to have much time to work with the rookies, the guys coming in so far this year? You've got a nice edge rusher, I know, early on. Who have you been impressed by so far?
We got a guy, we call him Project Pat. He's an amazing guy. Dude's got a motor. Like, dude's crazy quick. He's nice, fast. He's strong. We got Wormley. He's a great guy. He's going to be probably a good 5-3 technique. Who else we got? We just got a bunch of people, a bunch of guys. We got Bowser. We got Humphrey. We just a bunch of guys who just are ballers.
Are you guys hearing it from Joe and the offense saying, well, hold on, you're getting all these picks, all these free agents, where's our help?
Well, he got Jeremy Maclin, he got some other, he got Mike Wallace, he's got Bashaud Perriman, he's got weapons. I mean, we got definitely some weapons. We got some tight end weapons also, even though Pitta did go down, but we got tight end weapons. We got Ben Watson. We got Crockett Gilmore. We got Nick Boyle. We got Max Williams. The list goes on and
your
on.
Your roommate, Crockett Gilmore,
yeah,
of course.
That's my homie. Oh, yeah. Brother from another mother, for sure. So,
beautiful. Look, you're coming out playing the Jags here at Wembley. What do you know about football? What do you know about Wembley, the venue you're playing in?
I don't know much about it, but once I get here, I mean, once I, you know, I'll definitely learn up on it. I'll definitely, I just can't wait to play here. I can't wait to see just the fans, the rowdy fans. I want the hooligans out here. I want the crazy, you know, rugby guys, those crazy soccer fans. I want everybody out here talking smack, throwing beer, doing whatever they do, just having a great time watching some great football.
You'll be amazed. You'll see someone in every jersey of every team. There'll be Browns fans there, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I'll see every type of jersey, everything. But as long as they're here having a great time, as long as they're here enjoying American football, that's all I care about.
Now, Brandon, enjoy the rest of your off-season. Again, great catching up with you after our chat at the Super Bowl. I do have one request. We heard that you did the Carlton dance last night.
Yes,
is that going to be your sack celebration if you get sack at Wembley?
Here it will be, yes. If I get sack here, the Carlton will be broken out.
Now, I don't know why I've agreed to do this, but would you be willing on camera for me and you to dance together?
For me and you to dance?
Yeah.
You're going to dance with me?
I'm going to dance with you for some reason. I've agreed to that.
I think I can do that.
Oh, God, right. So we'll post this online, at Gridiron on Twitter, at TalkSport. Hold on then.
Brandon Williams speaking with me and then dancing with me. That was a bit weird. At the NFL UK fan event. And from a Ravens perspective, it was interesting talking to him about the Zach Orr situation and him saying that he believes that, if you've not seen, Zach Orr has got a second opinion that says that he can continue to play football without it being essentially life-threatening, and he's going to try and get back into football. So far, a team hasn't touched him, but he said very much that he would welcome him back in a heartbeat at Baltimore. He said that before he even got a chance to ask him the question. So clearly he was very keen on it. But it amazes me when you have a player like that. We talked a bit about the friendlies as well, but who is so specifically important to what that scheme do, because he plays that one technique, that nose tackle in that 3-4 system, and is so important there. But so often when they play with the wide front and he gets shifted off to that, gets kind of shifted off in the nickel packages, ends up playing the almost the end position and switching out to the three. He can take up two blockers no problem. He can actually get penetration. He gets sacks. He gets tackles for loss. He's an unbelievable player, and I think he's so key to what they're going to do this year. And for the Ravens, it's just a shame that they've invested almost entirely on offense, on defense. Although they finally did bring in a wide receiver, as Brandon Williams pointed out. So maybe that's going to make the difference. But I still can't see them touching the Patriots right now.
I think they're a long way behind. You'll always get tit for tat in that AFC North, and teams taking games off each other, probably apart from the Browns, although maybe the Browns will be a bit better this season. But they're so stacked on defense, and I think that's, they're basically hoping for defense and special teams to keep them in games, and then relying on Flacco's arm to Mike Wallace, and that's it. That's their game plan.
Fair play to Marin Cilic, by the way, fighting back in this third set after getting his foot. We were on serve.
Yeah.
Got all strapped back up.
The best thing about your interview with Brandon Williams.
Saying that he's about to be broken.
The Will Gavin curse. The best thing about the
Do you know, yesterday, I was on radio yesterday afternoon. I did the live racing on Matchday Live 2 on TalkSport 2, 4 hours. Horse racing is not a sport that 2 weeks ago I knew anything about.
It's not a sport.
And, well, okay, that's to be debated.
It's gambling.
And I sit on your side of the fence with it mostly. But it's a sport that I've had to learn about very quickly over the last couple of weeks. But we were doing reports on the cricket and Wimbledon and stuff as well, and I was talking, we had John Norman on, and we chatted to John, who's our cricket correspondent, and after we got off the line, I looked at the stats. Joe Root, before he went out, was, I think he was 78 off 75 balls. Everyone else that day had managed 91 runs for 9 wickets at that point in the day, including the South Africans, and that only got worse afterwards. But I basically went on this big barnstorming, like, the captain pulling the team up by his bootstraps. What a performance after his 190, the highest ever test score. Like, really, really big Joe Root up. Next ball he went. And, yeah, I've developed somewhat of a ability recently to be able to...
Do you know the incredible thing about downfall? The incredible thing about that is after you've spoken to John Norman, I was working on Talk Sport with Sam Matterface. We got John Norman on for an update. Did a bit of a chat with John Norman. Sam came back in with a question, which I buzzed in his ear, going, Joe Root, he's scoring over one a ball. What a performance. Really dragging the team along. He got out whilst we were speaking to John Norman. That's incredible. That synergy.
Do you know the week before during the racing? This is totally inside. This is a hashtag office gossip. But Sam apparently was he was doing the show upstairs. I was doing the show downstairs again for the Match Day Live 2 for the horse racing. We had John on doing an update when a wicket fell. Sam threw to John Norman before anyone had told him John was there while I was still chatting to him. So Sam Matface went, "There's been a wicket, John Norman." And he just wasn't there because he was talking to me. Yeah. But somebody went in my ear, Sam's just thrown to John Norman while he's talking to you. And and so at the end of the conversation, I went, "John, I know Sam Matterface is absolutely desperate to talk with you, so I'm going to let you go." And apparently I got back to them and they all thought it was very funny. So
has a bit more office gossip. Has Sam Ellard forgiven me for being mean to him?
I don't know.
Is he actually upset? Do you know, he is upset because James Savundra liked the banter tweet.
Oh.
And Sam Ellard asked him to unlike it.
He asked him to unlike
yeah.
it? Oh, my God. That is pathetic.
Incredible.
Oh, wow. If you want to... No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
It's just a very sensitive person in the office. That's all.
You're listening to The Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips. Let's get reset and back on it. The second game in the international series...
I was going to say, the thing I liked about that Brandon Williams interview was you... We were on the playing fields of this school. I can't remember the name of the school. But all of the media in the same place. And you had cameras being set up by various media outlets. And Sports Center, ESPN, were doing live hits with the players.
On US TV.
On US TV. Live hits for their breakfast shows. And you and Brandon Williams were in the way of this live hit that they were about to do with the Honey Badger. And Nat came over to me and said, "Look, can you just get them to move out of the shop because my producer is going crazy that you're in the way," and he's losing it. He's freaking out. He's kind of in it. And I was like, "Yeah, it's fine." So I don't know whether you remember, you probably won't be able to tell from the audio, but there's a point where I just tap
shuffle
you
us along.
And I do this, wave you guys along.
I do remember that, and I didn't realise, I knew why, because when you pointed out, I realised, but I mean, I went where the guy from the Ravens told us to stand, so I stood there. I bet Nat's annoyed about that.
No, he was fine about it.
He's sure?
Yeah, he was laughing, he put all the blame on his weedy producer.
very good. Right, so the second game up at Wembley is the Saints taking on the Miami Dolphins. That's going to be a cracking game. And we spoke with Alex Jenkinson, and I said earlier, his story is fascinating, how he got into the NFL, similar to the conversation we had with Alex Gray previously. And, I mean, really, we should just let him give a little bit of his own background and hear from Alex Jenkins, defensive end for the New Orleans Saints. Alex Jenkins, one of the players who came through the, I'm going to get this right, NFL International Player Pathway Program.
You got it right.
British player playing out in the NFL. I mean, living the dream with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is, living the dream. You know, being a professional athlete has always been a dream of mine. But to be able to do it in the NFL and be British is just, it's hard to explain into words how great it really is.
People who don't know your story, your history, just tell us a bit about your background.
So I was a soccer player for most of my life in England, just like most kids in the UK.
Big for a soccer player.
Yeah, I was a little bit skinnier back then. I was a striker. But got to a point where I realised that this wasn't going to be a profession for me. So I looked into other outlets, and what I did really was I just literally Googled American football. I had a lot of exposure to the game, like sporadically in my life, like through movies, TV shows, highlights on YouTube. So I Googled it and said, I looked at these guys and go, wow, you know, their body types are similar to mine. Like, I could be that if I worked hard for maybe 5 years. And here I am 5 years later in the NFL with the Saints. It's great.
What was your first amateur experience of NFL or Britball experience?
So I played for the Bristol Aztecs. That was the team that, nurtured me for the 6 months before I got my scholarship to the United States. So, yeah, Bristol Aztecs, and I trained with Phil and Brian at Bristol as well.
It's unique. It's interesting. We've had Alex Gray on the show previously and heard his story, but it is unique that you have been out, you got your college scholarship, and actually you went out and played college football.
Yeah, it is unique. You know, all of us have different stories. Alex's situation, definitely very difficult situation he was in to be able to make it, but thanks to the International Player Pathway Program, he's been given an opportunity. But yeah, you know, for me, the biggest achievement was getting a scholarship and being able to go to school and being able to play this game that I love as well. So it's definitely something very unique, but you know, I love it.
What have been your early experiences at the Saints through OTAs and in the early parts of mini camps?
It's just, you know, learning the system, meeting new people, meeting staff, like learning what's expected of you as being a Saint, and you know, being introduced to the fan base, which is an amazing fan base, by the way. I love the fans, really loyal fans in New Orleans. So yeah, and obviously just learning how to be a pro and be an NFL player.
What's been the biggest difference in the training, in that, like, because it is a huge step up from the college game?
So as far as like my training, I've always been very intense. I've always known that to be able to play this game in the States at this level, I have to be better than the man in front of me or beside me to even be given the opportunity to look at me. So as far as practices go, the biggest difference between college football that I would see is just the speed. The speed of the game is incredible. It's just mind-blowing to see some of the guys, how big they are, how fast they move. And, you know, that's something you have to get used to in transitioning, but it's something that I'm getting used to. The more you know the playbook, the slower the game becomes.
How far off are you, do you think, from, you know, breaking away from the practice squad? I know that can't happen this year, but obviously okay. But
that level of confidence, I like a lot, though.
But obviously the goal is to make the team. How far away do you think you are from that?
I think I honestly believe I could have made the team this. I could make the team this year. I think I could make the team next year. So it's just something you have to be hungry. You have to make the most of your reps. You have to be attentive, and you have to be on fire at practice. You know, it's just something I believe that I can do. You know, I've got this far, and nothing's going to stop me. So,
have you had much interaction at the moment? I mean, I'm interested whether you've been more with the special teams, more with the actually on the defensive side of the ball, because I mean, the position you're coming in, defensive end, they've got a player in Cameron Jordan there who I think is one of the best in the league and underrated for my money.
Yeah, definitely. Cameron's definitely an underrated player. Pretty annoyed that he wasn't on the top 100 this year, but he's also
been. You are, or he is.
He isn't. But you know, he's a player that's, you know, who during this first OTAs and minicamp, he took me under his wing as well, and he's teaching me how to be a pro as well. But you know, as far as like playing with the different parts of the team, you know, I've got a fair amount of team reps and defense, but I've had a lot of reps in special teams. You know, that's definitely an aspect of the game I know that I can be a starter on in multiple packages, and you know, that's a way to be a player in the league, and it's a legitimate way, and it helps the team win, and you know, it's a great opportunity.
From a football perspective, what's the best lesson you've learned from someone? It doesn't need to be Cameron Jordan, but anyone on that team, they've taught you like a new technique, a way that you've learned to adapt your game that's really seen a big improvement over these few weeks?
It may sound strange, but Cam's good advice to me was slow down. Just slow down, think about what you're doing, and you know, be a pro. And it might not make sense to you guys, but like when I'm at practice and you're doing drills and stuff, you just feel like you have to be as fast and as aggressive as possible. But technique is super important, you know, if you want the coach to see that you're ready to play. So technique, slow down.
I'm interested about the dynamic between a practice squad member and, you know, the full squad. Are you guys like a tight-knit group? Is there much integration? I know Cam took you under his wing, but is there much integration between the two sets, or is it because you're a British guy, he's especially taken you under his wing?
No, there's no separation between us. You know, we're all in the same locker room, we're all, you know, we're wearing the same colours, we're all on the same field together. So no, yeah, it's being a British guy, it's just kind of where I'm from, really. It doesn't really change that I'm a rookie and I'm a player who wants to play. So Cam sees that. You know, he wants to help me. He wants to help me be successful. You know, he wants the team to be successful as well. So, yeah.
Have you had much interaction with the big dog, Drew Brees?
Not yet. We did some throwing after practice. You know, he's such a gunslinger. He'll throw it into a helmet from 50 yards away. So I threw it back to him a few times. He's a bit too untouchable for me right now. But, you know, to me personally, someone like Adrian Peterson is someone who he's actually one of the reasons I started playing this game. And, you know, I've had a lot of interaction with him, and he's a great guy, and, you know, he wants to train with me as well in the off-season, so it's great.
Look, the big one, British player, the Saints are coming out. You used to play soccer as it is to them, football to us. There is a chance that, you know, if things progress in a certain way, whether it is injuries, whether it is your chance to play on the squad, the team are coming out and playing at Wembley, the home of football this year. I mean, that is just a level above anything else.
I know, it's just incredible. You know, some people ask me, it's like, if you had an opportunity to play anywhere in the world with the Saints, where would it be? And I said London, you know. And it's just crazy that the year that I make it to the NFL is the year that the Saints are in London, an international series is going on, so my family can finally come see a game because they've never even come to a game or been exposed to it yet. So it's just an incredible opportunity.
I found him a really, really nice chap. I found him really interesting, Alex Jenkins.
I thought he was great. What I really liked about him, and I know he moved over to the States a little bit later than some of the other guys like Jermaine Illuminor, Obi Melinfonwa, some of those other guys, Jay Ajayi, he still retained his English accent, and you can tell as well that he has a little West Country lilt, that he's from Bath, that area. Yeah, he was really, really interesting. And one of the things that interests me most, I got it wrong with the whole they're not eligible to play. I'm sure I read that somewhere, but perhaps, I mean, he was winking at me during that whole answer that he is trying to make a spot on the roster. But the other thing was that the fact that he's now on a team with his hero, Adrian Peterson, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And being looked after by Cam Jordan, or is it Jordan Cameron? I always forget. And also, you know, dealing with and working with Adrian Peterson, it's a dream for this guy. And then he has the chance, and I bet he makes the roster for that first game, because you can do infinite roster changes, can't you, up until a certain point of the season, where you can sub guys in from the practice squad onto your roster, and then it gets fixed. I think it's after week 8 or week 9, something like that.
You reckon he's going to get bumped up to the squad for
that game? I really do. It was a bit like,
bring him in for a couple of snaps somewhere if you're dominating.
It's a bit like when,
against the Miami Dolphins.
Great work. It's a bit like,
I knew you'd like that.
It's a bit like when the Raiders came and played, and Menelik Watson kept being brought on as a designated receiver.
Yeah,
do you remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah, yeah. And if they'd just thrown in the ball once, that'd have been absolutely,
it would have
hilarious.
Been incredible, yeah.
Genuinely hilarious. I don't have one for the Saints, unfortunately. I was hoping I might have like an oh, or something like that. I've got one for the Cleveland Browns. In Da Dog Pound, but yeah. I don't have one for them. Yeah. I you know what's happened? I haven't looked at this app in a very long time, and I just remember it had animal sounds in it. Let's hear from we're not going to do any in-depth Saints, and what we are going to do, which is going to be, we're going to do a series of two shows, maybe more, with Simon Clancy and with Matt Sherry, where we're going to pick a Hall of Famer from each current NFL team. Because I was reading an article the other day, and I look back at the numbers, the average number of Hall of Famers starting in any season in the NFL is between 45 and 55. There's been like one season, and you're only allowed to go back to like 2004 mm-hmm. or something like that, because obviously if you go more recently than that, people haven't had time to get into the Hall of Fame yet.
Yeah.
But if you go back a reasonable amount of time, anywhere between 45 and 55 starts, which means most teams have two Hall of Famers if you average it out, but every team will have at least one. So we're going to go through.
And so we're picking a Hall of Famer that's not a Hall of Famer at the moment, but we know will be one.
Yeah, so I mean,
So Green Bay would be Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, and those are the obvious ones. I think we should try and strike out and do something, try and pick. Like, when we do the Patriots, let's not do Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski. Let's pick somebody else.
Julian Edelman.
Not Julian Edelman. MMQB, 10 Things Podcast, the best X's and O's podcast out there. We bring a little bit of mirth. We get some great interviews. They are the best X's and O's podcast out there. They do their top 10 positional rankings for the year, and they go through and they do it AP poll style. So the two members of the podcast vote, and plus their researcher as well. Julian Edelman came the 13th on their poll.
Yeah, probably that's about right.
My whole thing is, I've just always said he's not a top 10 receiver. Ooh. I've always said he's a great receiver. He's just not a top 10 receiver.
No, I think he might be about the 10th best in the league.
Oh, you're making me really angry. yeah, so let's hear from Miami Dolphins' Kenny Stills. You spoke with Kenny.
Yeah.
What did you speak to him about?
not
much.
Not much. It was annoying because it was more poorly. So one guy got about 2 minutes, and then I got about 2.5 minutes, and then someone else came in for 2 minutes. It was at the end of the day, he was tired. I asked him about Gase. It was interesting about Gase, about Jay Ajayi, the wide receiving corps, and how they are
Do you remember what the last question was from the person before you? That's basically what I need to know.
No, I don't remember.
Well, let's hear what Kenny Stills has to say. And you can guess what the question was.
Jay's been a huge contributor on our team and a great leader for our running backs. And so, you know, obviously we're all just trying to build on what we did last year. And the receivers know if we block for him, he's going to make a big play. And so, you know, it's fun to watch him do his thing.
In a league where people talk a lot about Elliott's impact and Bell and Johnson at Arizona, do you think Jay can now join those guys as the best of the league?
Yeah, you know, teams are really, really have to focus on Jay now, you know, because of what he did last year. And so, you know, that helps out the receivers and vice versa. And so, you know, his presence is definitely felt on the football field.
What's it going to take to dislodge New England as the top of the AFCs?
Just exactly what it takes to beat every other team, you know, to go out there and play good, sound football and you know, play hard all four quarters. Good.
Going up against the New Orleans Saints when you come over here in the autumn, a former team of yours, how much are you looking forward to that?
You know, for us, it's just another game on our schedule, you know, and we really just talk about, you know, taking things one game at a time, and the next game is always our biggest game, and so that's how it'll be, you know, when we play the Saints.
Talk to me about Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer?
Yes, definitely. Everyone knows that. He's a great player. He's a great leader. You know, I learned a lot from him, you know, in my time in New Orleans, and obviously I wish the best for him.
Adam Gase, head coach. What does he bring to the team that was different to previous regimes?
He's just a fiery competitor, you know, and you know, he wants us to compete every day at practice and really just, you know, try and improve and grow each and every day. And so, you know, he's a great coach.
Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry, yourself, is there a lot of rivalry or is it friendly banter? What's it like being in such a potentially dominant wide receiving core?
We really just, you know, take it upon ourselves to push each other and get better, you know, each and every day. And so I wouldn't say it's a rivalry, but, you know, we have a ton of, you know, respect for each other, and we know, you know, what we're capable of doing. So if we push each other, we can be a special group. And so, you know, the better each and every one of us are, you know, the better the team is.
And Julius Thomas coming in as well. I mean, he had a poor season last season. Be excited to be working alongside him and the different options that he could bring to the team.
It's always great to add another skill position player that can make big plays. And, you know, he's comfortable in our offense. He knows Coach Gase in this offense. And so, yeah, we're excited to see what we can do. We know we have a ton of pieces in place on offense and defense. And so we just got to go out there and put it together each and every week and try and get some victories.
And up in practice, taking on players like Ndamukong Suh, what was he like, one in practice, but also in the locker room? What kind of guy is he?
Sue's a great guy. He works hard. He's a leader on our team, and we know what we're going to get from him, you know, each and every week. And so, you know, the guys around him, he brings them, you know, he brings them up. He brings up their level of play, and we've got some good pieces on our defense as well.
So that was the first set of interviews from the NFL Summer Bowl. Coming up on the next show, we'll have Joel Bitonio. Joel Bitonio was, and Johnny Hecker was really good fun as well. He loved that I was in a fellow ginger.
Didn't he high-five you?
He high-fived me for being a fellow ginger, but it was the most awkward high-five.
Oh, no.
Because he went to high-five me, but I had equipment in my hands, and I realised too late, and then I, like, switched my mic to my other hand, and then went to high-five him, but by that point, he thought I'd mugged him off. So I had to take his hand away, then kind of went, oh, like, realised, so kind of went for a high-five, and it was, like, a really tepid, really shit high-five. Like,
lame.
Yeah, it was really, really poor. So, all in all...
Poor from you.
It was very punterific, but it was a really interesting interview. Like, he really had some in-depth stuff to talk about Jared Goff, etc. So it was quite fascinating. So him, Joel Bitonio, and Tyrann Mathieu, the full interview with him as well. So that's all coming up on the next show. We have, as we sat down to do this, and what Roger Federer is on championship point, second championship point. We'll put the surround sound on and hear the winning moment. Look at that. Bit of surround sound for you. I don't know how that's going to sound on the microphones, but we're just going to take a pause for a moment and listen to this.
Here we go. Served. It's a let.
Oh, it's a let!
It's a let. It was a long from Cilic on the return. Federer now. Down the middle. Ace!
Bang.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy.
But... 8-time Wimbledon champion, 19-time Grand Slam champion, came back from having not won a Grand Slam since 2014 and has won 2 out of 3 so far this year.
What a guy. What a great guy.
Absolutely incredible.
Is there much worse in sport, though, than Federer fans who wear the RF hats and stuff.
Get away. No, do you know what there is? It's people who wear car branded F1 merchandise. So they wear like a Ferrari hat, but they drive a Skoda Octavia.
That's a great shout. They're the worst.
They are the worst. And if anyone's listening who does that, I'm sorry, but you're the worst. Blech.
The worst.
The worst. I like that. That's good. Right, we did.
What did you say?
I said fan watch, I think.
I thought you did. It wasn't good. I really thought you said sandwich. I was like, why is he saying sandwich?
I am a bit hungry.
I just better check.
This Krabby's has gone to my head.
The sandwich is never complete.
Do you know who followed me this morning on Twitter?
Nope.
Tim Kingsbury.
Who's that?
The bassist from Arcade Fire.
All right, mate. I mean,
I've just seen it.
You're the worst person ever at the moment.
14 hours ago.
There is one person you shouldn't tell about that.
Yes, there is. Very much. Shut your mouth. We put out a question saying that we're doing a podcast today and asking for questions, but we didn't really push it very hard. So we had one person reply with a GIF just going, "What?" Being surprised that we were doing a show. And Neil doesn't ask a question, but my problem with this question, it's a great question, except they asked it on the Around the NFL podcast last week.
Oh, really?
And so I don't want to repeat other people's content. That's my problem. But I'll just ask you the question. Who would you get to present you for enshrinement in the Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
So he said, obviously, Mainsey from their show Waxing Lyrical would pick Dutt, for example.
Oh, you know who I would get? It's a guy that I really respect. I've been working with him for a while. Really, really good guy. He's I don't know, he maybe put on a bit of weight over the last couple of years or so.
Is it Darren Goff?
Got married a couple of years ago. He's Ginger. A guy that I pretty much see every day.
Adrian Durham.
Adrian Durham.
very good, very good.
Who would you get?
I don't know.
Would you get Wynn from Arcade Fire, your new best friend?
My new best mate. If he was available, absolutely. 100%. If not, I'd ask Paolo Bandini because I love him.
Oh my God, Paolo. Paolo's doing the NFL show this week.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I love Paolo. Tell me.
Not me, though, is it?
No, it's never you.
It's never me.
I was speaking to Dan McGoogly. I always forget his surname.
From Gridiron Gents.
Gridiron Gents.
Good podcast. Good guys.
Great guys. And he asked a question, which I then said, you should do that on your podcast, but I'm gonna steal the question anyway. Who in the NFL would you most like to be fully tackled by?
Who's the smallest person in the NFL? Johnny Hecker was pretty slender. He could fully tackle me, and I don't think I'd even feel it. I'd pick a punter, because they're not big guys.
But Stephon Diggs isn't a big guy.
Stephon Diggs is a great shout.
But the thing is, he then said, look, if I'm going to get fully taken out, I want it to proper count. So I'm going to pick...
That's a good point.
I'm going to pick... Well, he was like, Honey Badger's a unit. You know, he's fantastic. Maybe him.
One of the most aggressive and dominant players in the NFL. Yeah, that's a really good shout. If it's going to be on camera, if it's got to be filmed and it's going to happen, and I'm wearing pads and stuff.
Yeah,
you want it to be somebody proper. You want it to be... The thing is, I think I might have picked DeMarcus Ware before this year, but he's obviously not in the league
anymore.
There's
only one person.
Von Miller.
And he's a wanker.
I don't know who you mean.
And Dominican Sue.
Yeah, Dominican Sue's a great shout.
Yeah, I think that he would be great.
Anyone... do you know what, like a legend, if Patrick Willis was still in the league, Patrick Willis.
Yeah,
I think he wanted to be a proper player, someone who's going to actually wipe you out. That's a great question. Well done, Dan. You're a great guy. Great guy. This has been a meandering, wandering podcast, the Gridiron Show, sponsored by our good friends at Touchdown Trips. Do go and check them out. Please go and like them on Facebook, like them on Twitter, follow them on Twitter. Give them all that love. Give them all the love that you give us, because Ben deserves it. He works incredibly hard and gives incredible deals out as well. And also, just as a personal plea, while I'm being a terrible human being, I'm trying to get my Instagram game up. Sports people don't really like Instagram.
You're actually doing this right now.
I'm just saying, we give our personal Twitter accounts at Will Gav. I'm the same on Instagram at Will Gav. Just go and give me a little follow there, please, because I could really do with a podcast bump on Instagram.
I'm just going to unfollow you.
I deserve that. I absolutely deserve that.
I can't believe you've just done that. You really are a horrendous human being.
Follow Ollie as well, even though he's boring.
I'm not boring. How am I boring?
You're not. You're more excited than me.
Yeah, my Instagram's full. It's great.
Mine's getting there. It's getting more exciting.
Yeah. Oh, all of these Arcade Fire pictures right next to the stage.
Yeah, all right, shut up.
You make me sick.
Ollie, any final thoughts?
No.
In which case, we'll have another show out later this week with the other interviews, and then we'll start on our Hall of Fame players from current teams, and then we'll be doing fantasy, and then we'll be building up to the season proper. It's all coming your way. This has been The Gridiron Show.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.